going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back to WGR's continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft. Day two. In the thick of it. We're at the 59th overall pick. Before we get you who's at 59 here from the Ravens, let's get a quick recap of the last four picks with Derek Kramer.
Well, I'll do you one better. We'll go with the last five picks here.
Sure.
Jumping back to 54 here, Green Bay taking offensive tackle Anthony Belton out of NC State. The Chargers get themselves a wide receiver. It's Trey Harris out of Ole Miss. That's one that a lot of Bills fans seem to be favorites of. One pick right before where the Bills were originally slated to draft at 55 overall. Chicago, with one piece of that trade with the Bills, they go with offensive lineman Ozzie Trapillo out of Boston College. And then guard Tate Rutledge out of Georgia going to Detroit at pick 57 overall. The Las Vegas Raiders selecting a wide receiver Jack Beck out of TCU. And Baltimore at pick 59 doing something that, from the reports, it looks like it's an interesting one because this may be the fall. Ending
of the fall.
For Mike Green out of Marshall. And we'll get that official announcement coming in a couple of seconds here, but it looks like reportedly it's going to be Mike Green to Baltimore, and that's Starks and Green for the Ravens. That's two top 20 players based on talent and a lot of big boards going to the Ravens.
They've had this camera awkwardly on Jack Besh for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And they keep celebrating. You know, I'm very happy for him, but it's like the most awkward thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, like, they can't. Enough. Now it's Sue's crotch.
Okay, well, it's gotten worse.
It's actually gotten worse. They can't pan to Shadur, I get it, so they're kind of scrambling, but this is bad.
Okay, now I love the pick
now
of
it's
Jack
not
Besh,
on his
though.
Face at all.
I love the pick of Jack Besh to the Raiders.
Yeah, it's a good pick. It's just, yeah, can we get
super
the camera off him? Thank you.
Real quick on Baltimore with Mike Green. A lot of risk there.
Yes.
Inarguable. We multiple sexual assault allegations.
Multiple. Wow.
Dating back to when he was at Virginia. He transferred from Virginia to Marshall.
It's not great.
If Baltimore, though, can navigate that, whatever it ends up being, adding a Senior Bowl menace in Green and Malachi Starks, who is maybe one of the safest picks in the draft, regardless of position. It's Baltimore pulling a Baltimore. It's we'll figure it out later. Give us the best player on our board, and we'll move forward.
I'll tell you the thing I like for the Bills right now, especially if they're in the mind that they'd like to take safety. We're getting to pick 60. They're within 12 picks here, and yep. It looks like they're going to have options.
They're absolutely going to have options. One that I know is, I think, become a lot of people's fan favorite, Xavier Watts.
Xavier Watts, and then, of course, Nate and I were on this one yesterday about Kevin Winston out of Penn State. This is a rangy, athletic player there. Watts, meanwhile, a starter on a national championship-contending defense. Those are two very good players that have a lot of quality measurables and, quite frankly, would be able to pick up things relatively quickly for you. Winston's a little green in that sense. He was only a one-year starter. Mm-hmm. He does have that second year of being a starter cut down due to injury.
I also wonder about Billy Bowman Jr.
Bowman's probably a fourth rounder.
But they did have him in on a visit, and it could be one of those. If we want to say,
if it was late third round, I would agree with you. It's not. I think it's you have a chance at Watts or Winston. And
Dave Brugler does have him as a third round pick. Just saying.
Yeah, I do think Bowman's
Billy Bowman.
I think Bowman's safely a fourth, especially with how the position's treated right now.
So,
and especially with how the class is going.
I obviously,
which is not at all. It's not
two safeties are gone.
I obviously, you know, I don't need to, you know, beat a dead horse. I love Xavier Watts. I think he would be a great piece. Over the last couple of days, really started to consider the idea of Kevin Winston Jr. I think he's probably the first or second safety taken without the injury last year.
Yes.
He's, I mean, with a torn ACL, 5-6 months removed, he ran a 4.5. So I would assume that's only going to get better as he gets healthier.
He's rangy. He's athletic. He's very talented.
Yeah.
And the athletic profile, him. And here's my only concern about Xavier Watts being a fit for the Bills is they've traditionally valued, really since day one, the functional play of both safety positions, being able to play both strong safety, free safety, playing center of the field, playing in the box. You know they get that with Cole Bishop. Now if you could pair him with a Winston Jr. who can also do that, and now you have two guys on rookie contracts in the second round and back-to-back, or well, it'd be a third round. But I do find that maybe like I'm interested in that concept, and that would be the only thing, my only hesitation about you know,
Watts
being the pick.
And that's the thing, is really he has this singular role, and which we kind of already got there now with defensive tackle. We all kind of were talking about big guys, run stuffer, space eaters. The Bills have told us kind of again, no. We go for versatile guys. We go for guys that can do a lot on our defensive line. It's true of safety. So you got to wonder, we all maybe love Xavier Watts. How did the Bills feel about him because of that quote-unquote lack of versatility?
Lack of versatility, but also fifth-year senior out of Notre Dame. Again, he was the leader of a defense that was a title contender.
Yeah, he probably does come in and start with.
Cerebrally, he's got a head up
on
Winston.
If they'd be willing to, you're going to do your role. Bishop is going to be more the rangy kind of heat. We're depending on the scheme we're playing, he's going to kind of change things. Where Watts is, you're the center fielder, and you're going to kind of quarterback the back end of the defense.
Yes.
I think they'd love him.
Both are great fits.
With Nate, I wonder, though, if that's really what they want.
Both are great fits, as they are the antithesis of the box safeties that are Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin.
Mm-hmm. Well, the pick is in. Let's go live to Green Bay as Baltimore makes the 59th overall pick. Apparently, ESPN? No, do we not have it?
And there it is, Mike Green.
Mike Green.
Officially the pick there out of Marshall.
Yeah. You're not watching ABC?
That's right. ESPN has two different coverages.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
And ABC is very clearly behind.
They are.
Or ABC is doing what I believe we should do.
They are showing Besh.
Frankly.
Just keep showing Jack Besh. Were they interviewing
They're still
him?
Showing Besh.
Is that what was going on? Were they interviewing him?
Maybe.
Yeah, they were. They decided it on their main broadcast channel. We don't care about the pick. Just we want to talk to this guy.
I love that.
We want to talk to this guy, Jack Besh.
I love that.
Good for him. All the cameras on him.
One broadcast was, we're going to never leave his side.
Point the camera at him.
As he has the most intimate moments with his family celebrating a life-changing moment.
And he's like, wait, are you guys still pointing the camera?
And then the other one's going to be, don't worry, we're going to interview him. I love that so much.
So, meanwhile, an entire pick goes in, and they're talking to Besh, and it's like, all right.
We do know the Commanders pick, as I believe we are now kind of a
Commanders.
Few behind here.
Yeah, I was going to say, that would
the
be Denver.
The Broncos have taken UCF's running back, RJ Harvey.
Wow. They finally get a running back, but
yeah,
interesting.
And then Washington at 61, finally, cornerback Trey Amos.
That's, wow. Washington?
Washington, yeah,
and it's one pick before Buffalo's other second rounder originally slated at 62.
It's good value.
Not gonna lie, if they were there at their original picks, they would have moved, but this would have been a very frustrating night if they hadn't traded up to go get TJ Sanders.
Yeah,
it would have just been a lot of guys who we thought they maybe could have been in on just going. Kind of the antithesis to yesterday. As it kind of went on, it was like, okay, they're kind of chock full of options here that we really enjoy and we would like to see on the Bills. Today's kind of been the opposite, where once they got Sanders and you're looking back at the picks they originally had, it was a lot of, ooh, guys are going quickly.
So, as you mentioned here, we're at pick 60. Running back is going to be coming off the board, R.J. Harvey. I'm going to ask you guys about Trey Amos, who you mentioned just now, Zach, that's going to go 61st to Washington. A player I know a lot of Bills fans looked at. I know Anthony, that we just had from Cover One, he said it yesterday, like he would have preferred at 30 mm-hmm. the Bills go Trey Amos over Hairston. But for him to fall almost to the end of the second round.
31 picks later.
Something there that maybe just isn't.
I think it's the lack of traits. I think that's going to be a big thing. He's probably the safer of the cornerbacks, but what does he do exceptionally well physically?
This seems to be the theme of this draft. It's very traitsy.
It's because, while it's a starter draft, what you're drafting in these first two, maybe even three rounds is, I need a guy who my coaching, that I believe in, could develop into elite players. I do wonder if maybe for Trey Amos, the ceiling is, he's a solid NFL corner, but you maybe don't get a second contract out of him. You don't find it worth it to pay him that second contract. Where if the Bills figured out with Hairston, it undoubtedly, because of his speed, you will probably want to sign him back. There is that extra level he can hit that maybe a guy like Trey Amos can't. We've talked about it a lot. We've joked a lot about it tonight with Shedeur Sanders. It's why he's not going to get picked in the second round. I don't care that you got a lot of completions off of quick throws. I don't care that you're Deion Sun. You don't do anything physically above average to even at times average at the NFL level.
Yeah, it is notable. I mean, we are entering the third round here in just a few short picks, and Shedeur Sanders still on the board. And, I mean, presumably Chicago and Kansas City are not going to be taking quarterbacks.
I think he ends up going to Pittsburgh, and that's in the third round, is not until pick 83.
Oof. That would be something. It is interesting, though. Like, it's a very traitsy draft, and that's something that is seemingly the theme here. I do wonder if the Bills ended up with, like, for example, Tyreek Williams. Excuse me. If it was Tyreek Williams, we'd be very happy about how the corners have shifted.
Yeah, because it would be one of those things where it was like, okay.
Because one of the Bills selections is already done, and the second one's going to be right around the corner here.
Yes, you imagine, let's say that Tyreek Williams is his report, him saying that the Bills had told him he if he was there at 30, yeah, they'd take him. Let's say they do that. Probably a really good chance they could have traded up to maybe get, maybe not Hairston, but maybe Amos if they wanted to at 41. Or maybe Hairston doesn't go yet until that, and
or
they still trade
they
up,
do
go
a small
him.
Trade up about, yeah, 8 picks up for Morrison.
Now, I will say on that, to Tyreek Williams' point, because we've talked a little bit about him as well. While he doesn't have like any of like the quote-unquote like elite traits, his whole thing was he comes in day one an elite run defender. Alfred mm-hmm. Collins is like a slight difference to him, or a slight deviation to, or yes, slight decrease for that. That's where they fit. And to Nate's point that we've talked a lot about with TJ Sanders, they went and got him because he might be the last defensive tackle that has pass rush and run defensibility. Hairston, they go and get him. He's the fastest player in the draft, and they're getting him at 30.
Yes.
You know, and that's where I do look at coming up at pick 72. That's why I look at a guy like Jalen Royals.
That's why I look
He's
at
six
Winston.
Foot, 200 pounds, and on a partially broken foot / whatever his foot injury was at the combine, in which by the end of March he was still saying his injury wasn't fully healed. It did cause some issues for him in the draft process. He ran a 4.41. In his 40, so what's he run with a 100% healthy foot? Number one, he's not available here. He was on pace for 90 catches, over 1,300 yards, and probably double-digit touchdowns. But regardless, he probably runs in the 4.3s. That's a trait. He's gone, potentially. Maybe over a guy like Jack Besh, who his trait is literally, he might be Puka Nacua. And that's his trait. He might be Puka Nacua.
And when you look at traits, that's also a name that had ascended up draft boards for a lot of people, Kyle Williams out of Washington State.
Yep.
That's a downfield guy.
Yep. And I think they still have a huge need there. And I'm not really married to like any receivers they have outside of Keon Coleman. They just brought in Josh Palmer, so he's there. Khalil Shakir. Curtis Samuel doesn't do that role. They've got a lot of just guys. I think if a Kyle Williams or Jalen Royals is there at 72, I think they'd have a tough time maybe not going to get them, just because they offer something that some of these other guys in the draft don't. And that's even to a certain extent, too, with Xavier Watts. Really good cerebral safety. Physically, what does he do for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's not a 4-4 guy. You know,
and to be fair, safeties don't necessarily always need to be.
He's long and a very good pass defender. But, you know, he in the same weakness areas, you're looking at Max Hairston about not the best tackler, willing, but not the best tackler. He's not really bringing the boom. That's Xavier Watts. So I'm not sure. I think if you're going to address safety, you're going to want to go with someone that's maybe a little bit of
a little bit more both.
Yes.
And that's where I point back to Winston. This is a traits player, a guy who just came off of a knee injury that is running a 4.5 40.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So that's another speedy defender, another traits player, another one of these guys that has a high ceiling, which has been the theme of the Bills draft this year.
Mm-hmm.
It is genuinely fascinating to me. And here we are at what would have been the Bills' other second-round pick. I'm excited to see what the Bears do here.
We do know the Bears' selection. I think we're all at this point. We don't have to wait for our selection.
Yeah, we can tip them at this point.
The Bears are taking Texas A&M defensive lineman Shamar Turner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's another one that would have been in relative range of a lot of fans.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To see as a potential defensive tackle addition. I think the draft board did relatively fall in some way or another to where Mox predicted it of like, yeah, if you need a corner, go second round.
Yeah.
If you really like a guy, you'll take him in the first round and then you'll figure it out from there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened with the Bills. They took their corner in the first round. They figured it out from there, an aggressive move up to get a D tackle. And now, is it a wide receiver? Could it be a safety? Could it be another edge?
They could go a lot of different directions here.
There's a lot of different directions still, and that was what I loved about today, was there was still a lot of ways that they can go ahead and do this. Landon Jackson is still available. Jack Sawyer is available from Ohio State. There are a couple of guys. Oh, I'm going to butcher this name so badly. Princely Umanmielen.
Princely out of Ole Miss.
Princely out of Ole Miss.
I will wait for them to say his name.
I will wait for
TV.
Them to say it. Josiah Stewart out of Michigan. That's another name that I'm looking at. So there's a couple of players here that they could still go on edge rusher and still have a fine time. Wide receiver, we were already mentioning it.
I love Jalen Noel.
Noel is still on the board.
I like Jalen Noel. Right. Yes. I like Jeremy just tweeted, I want Kyle Williams. I would be good with Kyle Williams here.
They brought in too many of these guys on visits for it to not be something they've thought about in the third round.
And Noel and Royals are still there.
There's a lot of names there. We are within 10 picks of the Bills pick. We already know what the Bears are going to do, but the Bills pick at 72. We are technically on 62, but really Kansas City is on the board as we're wrapping up the second round here with Kansas City and Philadelphia.
Watch them take Isaiah Bond.
I wouldn't put it past them at all. They're already going to have two receivers likely dealing with suspensions.
Yes.
Worthy, maybe not. Rashee Rice, almost definitely.
Yeah.
So it is kind of a need for them. They got Josh Simmons, which was written in blood a month ago.
Pretty much, yeah.
And now, yeah, I mean, they – and honestly, you don't maybe want to react to your division rivals as you go. Denver, that defense is freaky.
Frightening.
And it is maybe perfectly set up to how Philadelphia beat Kansas City in the Super Bowl. And now you don't have that offensive weapons. It's more Denver has maybe caught up to offensively with Bo Nix in year two. They go get R.J. Harvey as well, so they kind of got that running back for Sean Payton. Maybe they do react to it and go, no, we got to keep adding. We got to keep adding just to get the ball out of Mahomes' hand as quickly as possible.
Yeah, they might have to do that. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do here coming up next because Shamar Turner.
I will say, you know, I know that top end guy still isn't in Buffalo right now on the defensive line. This is going to be the deepest and probably best overall from top to bottom from 1 through 8 or 9 or 10, depending on how many they keep, that the Bills have had since Sean McDermott's gotten here. And I mean, you have two guys that are going to be suspended for the first 6 games of the year, and you have guys you feel very confident are going to be able to step in and play for them over the first 6 games of the year. Listen, I think for me, you know, not for nothing, they may not have the best offensive line, but they have the deepest offensive line in football. Yeah. Not many teams can say they have Alec Anderson, a guy that's basically sitting and waiting in the shadows to take over at guard. You have Ryan Vandermark, who right now, after Tylan Grable, is basically overtaken him. So they've got two, and really since who's their offensive line coach?
Aaron Cromer.
There's too many names in my head. Since Aaron Cromer has come here, and I mean, 2 years ago he talked about we could field two starting offensive lines with this team.
I agree.
And I think the Bills have really, they've maintained that in terms of what they've had on the offensive line side. On the defensive line side, I also feel the same. Like they've really, I mean, when they get Ogunjobi back, they're going to have Ogunjobi, Dwayne Carter, Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, TJ Sanders. They're still going to have guys that they've had in the middle.
It's so
then on the edge,
guys.
You've got Epinesa, yeah. Bosa, Rousseau, Solomon, who I know they like and a lot of us like.
And that's something they've wanted to do for a few years here, which is get that consistent rotation of just wave after wave after wave of guys coming. I've brought it up a lot even before the pick came in. By the way, Kansas City's pick, Omar Norman Lott, the defensive tackle out of Tennessee, a name that would have been potentially interesting for the Bills if they hadn't gone defensive tackle where they did, especially at this position where they would have been. I would not have hated this name at all. But for the Bills, that rotation. And if Sanders can get a lot out of Ed Oliver and vice versa, you maybe do have your hellraiser in either one of them with the pass rushing ability. Again, and I will bring this up, because it was a season for Oliver, he did have 9.5 sacks just 2 years ago from the defensive tackle spot. And so now with that rotation, you maybe are going to have on that defensive line, especially kind of once you get into the dog days of the season, they might be able to really just run through teams. Along with that, if Harrison hits the ground running, not saying he has to be great, but if he hits the ground running and is a pretty darn good cornerback number two, look, they were good on first and second down defense. They were bad on third.
Yeah.
And so if that's the only thing that gets better is they're just better on third down defense, that completely changes.
It's a big deal, though.
They completely changes how they're perceived and how they actually operate from game to game.
Even with their style, the bend but don't break tradition that they have with it, if your third down defense tightens up, you're a little less bendy and therefore a lot more opportunities to take over games.
Yeah. I'm curious how that defense is going to look. I don't think that's my thing. I don't think they need to go defense in round three because I think they didn't have a ton of, oh, no, if you don't do this, we're screwed. Because and Joe brought it up yesterday when they were at Resurgence. It was, again, first and second down defense, they were good. Third down defense, they were bad. You added a corner, you added a defensive tackle, both who could play huge dividends to maybe your elite players already at those positions in Christian Benford, Ed Oliver, and we'll throw in Greg Rousseau on an edge that potentially could be a really, really good player with better interior play. That may be all the Bills really needed was a few more guys, a few more high potential pieces to really get the most out of this defense. Cole Bishop, even as a safety, is one of the more athletic safeties last year that was drafted.
Right.
That's why even the Nick Amendola pick may not have made sense if the Bills even wanted to, because you would have had just two freak athletes just kind of running around. You try to figure it out. If it works, it's amazing. I mean, but if it doesn't, you kind of look like a chicken with your head cut off.
Not a bad problem to have. You can coach that up.
No, and
I feel like the former safety and Sean McDermott would do that.
Right. But that's where I think that they fell in love with Cole Bishop.
Yeah.
And he was going to start if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
I think the Bills were signaling that if he doesn't get hurt at the start of camp, their plan was probably to start him.
It was going
to
be –
but
it was
he fell
originally
too far behind, and the safeties weren't a tire fire. And so it was like, okay, let him learn, let him figure it out, we'll be fine. And then he started to play a little bit more as the year went on.
All right, let's take a timeout. The third round is underway officially. The Eagles now on the clock here after Kansas City goes. We'll get you an update on the best available coming up here after a quick timeout. We'll also take any phone calls if you've got thoughts. You want somebody here in the third round as the Bills are about 8 picks away when they pick again at 72. I'm Nate Geary, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, and TJ Luckman here with you tonight, spending night 2 of the 2025 NFL Draft here on WGR. All right, welcome back. Continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft on WGR. It is presented by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. And brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Northtown Automotive Group. Northtown Automotive, official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Quilted Squirrel. Great websites, more leads, real growth for your business. Learn more at TQSmarketing.com. A couple updates here and picks. Derek, what do we got?
All right, so moving things backward because I clicked on to round three, so that's on me. But ever since the Mike Green selection to Baltimore, let's go from 60 to the end of the first round here. RJ Harvey, running back out of UCF to Denver at pick number 60. Trey Amos as one of those corners that Bills fans may have been coveting. Trey Amos going at pick 61 to Washington. Then Shamar Turner, defensive tackle, Texas A&M to the Bears at pick 62, concluding, well, their end for the most part of Buffalo's trade-up for TJ Sanders. Kansas City at pick 63, going with defensive tackle Omar Norman Lott out of Tennessee, and then the Eagles closing out round number two with a safety, but it is neither Kevin Winston nor Xavier Watts. It's Andrew Makuba from Texas. Round three, and Darius Alexander, defensive tackle from Toledo, kicking off the third round
to
the Giants, and what a nasty defensive line that one's going to be.
Yeah. Darius Alexander, 47 years old. Kidding, 25.
Zachary!
25.
Well, since you went to Texas, you went to Texas, right?
No.
Sorry.
So you went to Notre Dame,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right, because that's what everybody asked me, because I'm a Notre Dame. Oh, you went to Notre Dame? No, pal. I had an 85 average in high school. I didn't get into Notre Dame. thoughts on the Texas safety?
Good athlete. Clemson transfer, part of a great defensive unit for Texas. I wasn't the biggest fan of his. What? I think he makes a ton of mistakes, but I don't think it's a bad pick by any means.
What's Kansas City doing here?
Louisville right. Edge. Okay.
Ashton Jalot.
All right.
Edge rusher out of Louisville. Get out of here, Kansas City. Nobody likes you.
That wasn't a trade-up, right? They were always paying
there? No, they definitely traded up.
No, they were there.
They were there?
They were there at 66,
I thought they were. Okay.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was a previous trade or something, but no, they were there.
Okay.
So they got Norman Lott and then back-to-back defensive line picks here with Ashton Jalot from Louisville. So working on their D-line, the Kansas City Chiefs. Why? What happened?
No, actually, why? What happened?
Well,
wrong line.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Eagles had a great defensive line. Now everyone needs a great defensive line. It's the only way to win.
What happened, I feel like that's the wrong strategy.
They're doing it wrong.
They also are getting older on the defensive line. I can get it. I think there's a real fear of what are we without Chris Jones, and so I think that might be
hopefully nothing.
We're gonna try to get him through the aggregate when he eventually retires.
But all right, listen,
we'll see.
I get it. When should our Sanders coming off the board? I don't want to talk about it, but
Pittsburgh 83. Is that right? 83. I want to make sure I got the pick right.
Oh my gosh, I forgot the Browns got Tommy Reese as their offensive coordinator. Good luck.
They went from Ken Dorsey to Tommy Reese?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, that is a franchise.
But, it's pretty much Stefanski's offense, right?
It's Stefanski's offense, yeah.
I think Stefanski's even like, no, I'm not letting anyone else call my plays anymore.
Yeah, didn't he do that with Dorsey?
Yeah, he did.
Like, he brought him in, he's like, he's not calling plays.
And then all of a sudden, they were like, hey, you're calling plays.
Sacrificial lamb out here. It's a Roman sacrifice.
All of us over here were like, okay, are you sure about that?
Unbelievable. Yeah, but on Shedeur Sanders, let's look through the third round really quick. We got Cleveland up now. They could take him. I think they've completely pivoted themselves to we're going to take a guy next year. They could, though, in the third round at this point, if Shedeur's bad, they could quickly move off of him and not feel any sort of pity. The problem is, and I feel bad for him, you can't be a backup quarterback and have a lot of media attention. You simply can't. You have to be super quiet and a good backup quarterback. Shedeur could be a good backup quarterback, but he's got a lot of media attention. Then you've got the Raiders. They could, same thing though. They've already got Geno Smith. and they gave him an extension. I don't see that. Patriots, no. Jacksonville, no. Saints, I thought, but no. They took Tyler Shuck. We all sure on that? It's Shuck? Okay.
Worst last name in football.
Bills, hell yeah. Let's go. Jets, not a shot. Or is it? I mean, Justin Fields.
Did you just say Bills, hell yeah, as in like taking Sanders?
Yeah. Jets, they have Justin Fields. It would be also such a Jets move, I think, in previous regimes. I don't see Aaron Glenn being willing to deal with that at all, especially in year one.
Oh, yeah.
And especially for a guy that
He's already at his quota for nonsense.
Yep. Denver, no. San Francisco, no. Dallas, maybe. Dallas, maybe. New England, again, no. Arizona, I don't think so. Houston, no. Indianapolis, maybe.
Maybe. Would be spicy.
Cincinnati, Tennessee, and then Pittsburgh at 83. I think it's a lot of teams that don't need quarterbacks and especially don't need a loud backup. It's not even necessarily Shador himself. It is his father. I don't even know if it's necessarily his father. We're all joking about it on Twitter before the drafting
started.
It's
media, yeah.
Mel Kiper is crashing out because he wasn't a top 15 pick. And that's the thing is, like, he's going to get picked by some random team here in the third round. I think he will go in the third round. And what's everyone on ESPN going to be talking about on Monday? Where Shador Sanders went. And immediately, if he's not a third-round starter, that's...
It's easy to move on
from. Then all of a sudden, you have a very loud backup quarterback. And no team likes that. They don't like the fact that if their starter throws two picks and they lose against a good team, that fans are going to start clamoring for Shador Sanders, that they're going to put on get-up or first take and immediately getting roasted because, well, you got to put in Sanders. Look how great his completion percentage was in college. It's not fair to the kid. It really isn't.
Yep.
But it's where we're at. And this is where...
I will say his father's not doing any favors either.
I was going to say, and that's where maybe the complaints come in with Deion, where he maybe really should have kind of squashed the media talk and really just like, no, Shador's his own guy, truly and utterly. I am just his dad. And not done the whole talks of, well, Shador's going to be a top five pick and kind of playing off like he might actually pick and choose where he's going to play. He didn't test at the combine. He didn't really talk to anybody. I mean, that's where they played this really poorly.
Another tight end off the board. Lots of tight ends going early in this draft. 67 overall, the Cleveland Browns taking Harold Fannin Jr., tight end out of Bowling Green.
I think he's also another old guy.
Yeah, is he?
I want to check just to make sure. I think he's another
old guy. No, it's actually the opposite. He's 20.
Oh, yeah.
Giddy
up! He might be one of the youngest guys in the draft, to be honest. So suck it.
There we go. We did not go for 75-year-old rookies. There we go.
Can we say that on the air?
That was aggressive.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure. I haven't heard it in years.
It's a good, listen, I think it's a, it's getting late here. You know, we're on day two of the NFL draft. Just wait till my quote's tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
Day three. I hate it for all of you, to be honest.
Silence.
He had over 1,500 yards have no at right. Bowling Green.
You will not be here for pick.
Thankfully, 40. We have to legally cut you off at 3 p.m. I'm not able to give the legal reason.
Yeah,
but legal reason.
There is a reason that you have to be out of here by then, but I still hate you for it because like you're not going to be here for 2:40.
Thank God. Las Vegas
sacrilege.
Back. Las Vegas back on the clock here at pick 68. So the Bills are four picks away, five if you include him as well.
So yeah, like the pick's not announced yet technically, but we're at four because New England's already on the clock as the pick is being submitted. So we are just a few picks away from the Bills at 72 here. Wide receiver does look like a very comfortable option. So does safety if you really want it. If you're feeling a little crazy. It's definitely something that they can be looking at here. And I still think there's a lot of ways that you can walk away happy here. Darian Porter, corner out of Iowa State, by the way, the pick for the Raiders.
Nice.
So, seriously,
if
you were comfortable with corner not being the first selection, the draft board really fell the way you would have wanted.
100%.
But too late, too bad, the Bills have Hairston.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
And I'm cool with that, though.
But I like the Porter selection. I think that's really good. One other name I do want to bring up potentially for the Bills here is we are kind of inching towards that pick as well. If you're looking at wide receiver, another guy they brought in, Torrey Horton out of Colorado State, could be another name as well. There's a lot of options I think they could go here, and none of them would be a bad idea. I'm starting to think, though, more and more that he's falling, Landon Jackson.
Jackson
might
is
really
there.
Be the pick.
And again, he was linked to the Bills a decent amount.
But then I do wonder with how many guys they have on that D-line.
I don't think they can take another defensive line.
If they can take another guy.
Right.
Even
with the suspensions.
And ultimately, I could see Brandon Bean,
I
believe him 100%.
I would say because of the suspensions, they can't keep taking a defensive line.
Because
exactly.
Those guys will come back. It will be like guys on injuries that the rotation just gets bigger. Now, if they took Jackson, I can fully see Brandon Bean going, guys, he was the best player on our board by a mile. We took him. And I wouldn't complain with that decision, especially in the third round. I wouldn't think that's a bad decision by any means. I look at receiver, though, because I think there is a real need there, especially with a guy to stretch the field. You've got a lot of speed options. I've seen some people bring up the idea of Isaiah Bond on Twitter. I don't love that. Those are very serious allegations for him that popped up literally right before the draft. He was a first to second round talent. We are well into the third round. I don't even see his name brought up outside of Bills fans as a potential go get. So I think he is in for a steep fall. Nate, you've brought up the idea that he doesn't even get drafted. I could see him maybe going in the sixth or seventh just to sort of a flyer.
Considering Green fell nearly two whole rounds.
Yeah.
He didn't have to turn himself into police.
That's right.
2 weeks before the draft.
But I could see a team with a seventh going, if it works, this is going to work. If it doesn't, well.
It's only a sixth.
It's only a sixth. It's only a seventh.
Yeah.
You're not wasting
a day two pick on that.
I could see that. I will tell you, though, if the Bills pick Bond, I'd be upset for that reason of there is it's not a healthy amount of risk. And I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. To Nate's point, he had to turn himself into police. This is like a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, and there's way too many other good options on the board. I think they'd be forcing it and building an issue for yourself that you simply just do not need. Do we know who New England's picked at this point?
No, they're busy talking with Idris Elba and John Cena exchanging barbs.
I love Idris Elba.
Yeah, but I don't need him talking to Cena.
No, that's fair.
What's that? Nonsense. That's what.
John Cena, by the way, went heel in WWE. That did happen.
Yeah, cool. Good for him.
Yeah, kind of cool. Totally. Kyle Williams off the board to the Patriots. Wide receiver out of Washington State. Big favorite for a lot of Bills fans. I know our morning host, Jeremy White, big fan of his. He goes off the board.
Now to New England.
This, though, is a guy. Yep. Like we brought up with Luther Burden. They have too many of them. They don't have a ton of Kyle Williams. He does fit just a singular need that they had.
Yep.
It's a good pick for them. I like that.
Definitely frustrating, though, if you're a Bills fan. It's someone that you would have liked to have on this team. And just like Miami with Kenneth Grant in day one, this is... This one stings.
Nope, Jalen Royals is still there.
I'm saying it stings a little.
Not even. I don't even need to put Neil Sporn on it. Let's go.
Stings a little. It's annoying.
Jalen Royals.
No, Kenneth Grant, I was legitimately.
You were upset.
Yeah, I was mad.
Kenneth Grant happened. I moved on. I was like all right,
there are sometimes performative acts within media. That was not one of them.
By the way, Washington State's jerseys. I can't believe we killed the Pac-12.
It's coming back.
They look so good.
No, the gray helmet is actually like
it's
elite.
So good. Gray helmet, gray pants, with the little red in there. They're wage.
Even their.
The Pac-12 didn't deserve
even their
that.
Red on red.
Yeah, right.
It's a good uniform combo. They have good uni combos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, the Pac-12 didn't deserve the fate that it did.
Nope, didn't.
Though I hope that its revival will be.
Half-baked. It's going to be a lot of Mountain West guys.
I'm hoping. Let me hope that the Pac-12 has its revival. It will be effectively a new conference. I mean, I wonder, though, if they're going to be competing against all the old records. Should they just reset it for conference records?
No. I want the idea that, like, Wyoming gets a Pac-12 championship.
No. I'm talking, like, do they have to compete like individual records for like something from like USC years ago?
Let's let it ride. Yeah, I would do it. Yeah,
I'd say no.
Because we've had too much.
Pull the traitors out of it.
Yeah, but we've had too much conference realignment. Not even just now, but in like years past. I'd be fine if they kept it.
All right.
Just keep it going. Keep it riding.
Keep the records there.
Never let it truly die. You know.
I guess.
All right, we've got a new.
Another wide receiver.
Wow.
Lions.
The wide receiver run is starting right before
Isaac
the Bills
Tesla.
Pick.
Out of Arkansas.
Wow.
He is not a name I've thought about at all.
At all, nope.
Dane Brugler had him in fifth, sixth round.
Well,
that will do
it. He had 28 receptions last year.
He had 34 the year prior.
That's weird.
What does he do?
All right, let's take a timeout because we'll the Bills are going to be on the clock here in a little bit. So let's take our timeout on the other side. We'll get the Bills at 72 on our continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft on WGR. All right, welcome back to our continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft here on WGR. Nate Geary, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones. We've got TJ Luckman behind the board and defensive tackle Vernon Broughton from Texas, the other defensive tackle coming off the board here.
Bills are on the board.
The Bills are on the board. Guys, what's your wish list?
Do I have to say it again? Jalen Royals, Utah State wide receiver, let's ride. I'm ready to get hurt, but I'm also ready to cheer.
I'm going
to
go ahead and say I've been 0-2 on these today for the draft for the Bills. I'm going to go with Kevin Winston. Why not? Let's just chips down. Let's go.
I would really, really like Kevin Winston. I also like Jalen Noel.
So we got a pair of wide receivers, a safety. It's probably going to be a wide receiver. Let's be real here.
It's going to totally be like Landon Jackson. I agree with Nate's point, too. Like, do you even have room? But I could get around to the idea of he was just the best player on our board.
I think what we're going to find out here in the next minute or so, 2 minutes, is how much they like Javon Solomon.
Probably.
Ooh. Good point. Pick is in.
But also,
now we wait.
But also, yeah, Landon Jackson might just straight up be the best player on their board. It could be as simple as that.
But I think Nate's point's right is
oh, here we go.
Buffalo Bills for having me out to make this pick. Being a graduate of Wisconsin, I know how y'all party in Green Bay. Y'all doing it right. With the 72nd pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills select Landon Jackson, defensive end, Arkansas.
All right. Well, let's stay here. Let's get these guys' reaction of Landon Jackson.
Spent the 1 year at LSU out of high school, then the past three at Arkansas, and the stock really rose at the combine when he ran under 4.7.
No doubt. You talk about a long head, 6'6", 264 pounds, tremendous athlete, running 4.6, 40 inches in the vertical jump, draining, and outstanding. And I do mean outstanding run defender that has position flexibility, can set the edge against the tackle. And when I say dominate, he can absolutely dominate tight end. And if you want to go with a NASCAR package, you can slide him down into inside against the three technique. Has got to do a little better job of using his length from a pass rush standpoint. Has got a good speed to power to crush the pocket. Needs to get a little bit more versatility in the pass rush, but outstanding upside here with Landon Jackson.
Look, why so inconsistent? You saw the first four games this year, he didn't even have a sack. He only had one tackle for loss, and but four of the last five games, he's got a sack. We saw that even 2 years ago. He played in spurts. Yeah, I see a game where he gave you hope, and then the next couple games to be quiet. Why?
Got to be more consistent.
All right, the Jets took a tight end in round number two.
All right, well, you heard it here. The Bills drafting another defensive player, this time along the defensive line, Landon Jackson of Arkansas, a 4.6 840. Another 9-plus RAS guy.
Yeah,
so three straight 9-plus RAS guys.
They are going for athletes.
And then the Jets also took Florida State corner Azaray Thomas.
Oh,
well.
Very nice.
Oh, that's a good pick.
On Jackson, though, I've kind of said it here. I have zero doubts he would be the best player on the Bills board. I'm not surprised by that at all. And he's an elite athlete, and it's a third SEC defender out of three picks. It's not the Georgias, the LSUs, or what have you, but it's elite SEC defenders outside of Michigan and Ohio State. That's the best conference in the sport.
Yeah, it's interesting that they've gone on a specific theme at this point, and it is defense going chalk here on the first three picks.
Sal
as well.
Nails it, by the way. He said those first three picks, regardless of what they were, was going to be defense. We're going it sounds like we're going to hear from the GM here pretty soon as well. It sounds like we're heading into round four. They're not going to pick again tonight with all defense, which I think if you really asked a lot of Bills fans, if you sat them down with a lie detector, they'd probably tell you, cool, we need help on defense.
And it is
they
also,
need to get off the field on third down.
They did need a lot of help on defense.
They need a lot of help
on defense, but also it's now here comes your question. Day three, you have seven selections. You really think they're going to make all seven of these?
No. But maybe they do.
Including three fifth-round picks within four spots of each other.
I wonder if only for this reason alone.
Let's go.
If for this reason alone is if they really believe that the depth of this draft is as good as a lot of people said late, is that maybe they think they have guys that can push some of the guys at the bottom of the roster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing is if they're just loading up on depth and depth and depth. I mean, look at what the Giants are doing. Where they're just like, our offense maybe won't be able to score, but we're going to have a freaky defensive line. The Bills don't have that fear. The Bills are like, yeah, we'll score a ton. It might look ugly at times, but we're going to score a ton. And if we have a freaky defensive line with just wave after wave of bodies coming at you, especially high athletic guys, now that you add TJ Sanders and Landon Jackson, and if Harrison hits or is just pretty good to start.
You've got something immediately.
You have got something very quickly. That was my thing. I didn't think they had a lot to do to fix the defense, but with this pick, I think it takes you to another spot where you're going to keep helping yourself, though. You're going to keep putting elite athletes on the defensive line and around the defense. They got bigger as well. Landon Jackson's like 6'6", 250 pounds or something like that. I mean, he's a big guy.
Mm-hmm. So here's I said this before the break. Before the pick, I should say, is that I think this pick will reflect how they feel about Javon Solomon. And maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I think this might mean that AJ Epenesa is on the outside looking in. Because to me,
yeah,
he's your direct backup now to Greg Rousseau as that edge-setting defensive end. Which, and that's AJ Epenesa, in my opinion.
Again, to Bills fans, I think if you had to sit a lot of them down with a lie detector, they'd be like, okay, that works for me.
All right, here is Bills general manager Brandon Bean.
TJ, a guy with obviously plays D tackle, probably a three tech first inside rush. For us, kind of he can play one. I would say his primary is three, so he'd go three to one. But you know, we like the idea of adding another inside rusher, another guy to pair with Ed on clear passing downs. But you know, we could still play him at one if we wanted to. I would just say position one would be a three tech. Yeah, you just inside rush. I mean, any rush, Jay, but an inside rush, just looking at our board, the value we had on him, it's just we had a really good grade on him and just felt like it's only so he wasn't going to get to us. So we were just checking around and trying to find a spot. And we liked that one in the sense that we could not go too far and not get, be able to get this third that we just used on Landon. Yeah, I mean, again, best football player. And that's just – it's harder to find inside rush than a two-down nose. Those are easier to find. Those guys you can go in free agency now and find those. Guys with inside rush, you just – if you go down the pecking order of what D-tackles make, those guys up top, they know how to rush. You know, try to do research, check around. You know, we kind of had a feeling some of those names that would go early that did and that were not, you know, D linemen, but you knew at some point it's going to trigger back to it. And again, a guy with inside rush we just didn't feel would last very long. We didn't know that it would last that long. You don't know. We did not want to, you know, to go all the way up to the round. We would have had to lose both twos with nothing left. We still had a lot of good value on the board and still do, but this made a lot of sense to go get a guy we had a really good grade on and be able to get this third round that we just got landed with. Yeah, very excited. High character DNA, a longer athletic dude, a lot of sacks, went against a lot of premium talent. You know, in the SEC and had a lot of production. Obviously, athletically tested very well. You know, I would say even tested better than I would have maybe even said, but this guy is smart. He knows how to rush. He has feel in there. He's not just an athletic guy. Like, he knows when the quarterback's stepping up. He just got feel, instincts, awareness. He's tough. He's a dog. He's everything we want in a DNA of a D lineman. Yeah, John, we did feel we needed to get younger in some areas on defense, and so we hoped to do that. Couldn't tell you it would be with the first three picks. I felt like the way we were set up with the one and the two twos, I felt going in two of those, just the way our board was set, we'd be able to get defense. And, you know, after we made the trade up, I was like, okay, we got two defense. You know, we're still just going to stick with the board. And Landon was truly the highest player on our board. You know,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry. I know it's not intentional necessarily, but three defenders all from the SEC.
Yeah.
Can you kind of just speak to getting guys who played at that level of competition all of their first three
picks? Yeah, I mean, how can you not respect the SEC and their track record? A lot of talent, you know, every year, every draft, a lot of premium players. It's not that that's the only league, but it's pretty loaded division. And again, when you're talking about TJ, I've seen TJ live three or four times the last 2 years. He stands out on tape, his athleticism, his size, his the way he uses his length. He's kind of he's got the moves of a basketball player inside. Like, he's just got feel, and he grew up playing basketball, but he picked up football later. He's just a naturally gifted athlete with power. Still growing, still ascending. I think there's a lot in there that we think we can get him with pro coaching, and you know, I think he's got a nice high ceiling. We got to get him in here and get him into our program, but excited to be able to land him in the second round.
You also had length with these two the defensive linemen. You spoke about getting, like Sean did too, at the end of the season press conference. How important was it to get some length?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can't. That's nothing you can teach your coach. You got it or you don't. It's not an end-all, be-all, but it's a great starting point, especially with guys that already – these are two very football-smart players, both of these guys we added today. Instinctual, feel, understanding, knowing what the offensive player is trying to do. And that's half the battle sometimes, is knowing what to expect so that you have your counters ready to roll. Well, I think if you could probably go back, Matt, and listen to about any press conference that Sean and I have ever had of talking about the importance of how to build a team, you know, you got to have a quarterback, and then after that it starts up front. And we're always trying to look for ways to do that on both sides of the ball. And so I think if you look back, we've spent a decent amount of capital, whether it's in free agency or the draft, on both sides of the ball. And I haven't found anything that's changed my mind from that. We got to protect Josh Allen, and we've got to stop the run and get after the opposing quarterback.
Would you agree that Landon Jackson, he played wide, but he did spend a fair amount of snaps at 4i inside?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yeah, I think he's got a versatile skill set. I really do. I don't know that we would necessarily rush him inside, but I wouldn't.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, he's going to play more as definitely a base end for us, and I agree with you. You just see him, you know, sometimes this is a projection business. We talk about it all the time. Sometimes you're projecting level of comp, how someone played him. Pro scouting is easier because you see him play against other pro players. This guy was playing against guys that are already in the NFL or are just drafted, you know, this weekend, and so it's an easier projection to me to see Landon Jackson going to the NFL than maybe some other players or positions.
You got Sanders and Ogunjobi can play both, but his best spot is three tech. You don't have, at the moment, a backup to Daquan, whose best position is one tech.
Yeah, I do think Dwayne Carter can do it. I do think I wouldn't rule that out for him. And I think that was asked the other day, like, where would he go in the rotation? And part of that is, well, what do we add this weekend? If we added a two-down nose, we're probably going to play him more at the three. So at this point, the way it's slated, we'd probably position one him over to one. And that's what we like, versatility, guys that can do both, just like we talk about on the offensive line, not a one-hole player. Dwayne's one of those guys, wherever we put him, he's going to make the most of it. Yeah, I mean, I think Ryan, Marcus West, Jason Rebovich, Coach Rebs, all those guys, they've done a great job. A lot of these guys went on the road and worked some of these guys out, spent time with them, obviously doing Zooms. But I would give all three of those guys credit. Bobby Babich spent a lot of time. You know, we met, went through guys all the way back to free agency. We watched a ton of guys together, talked about what they bring, whether it was athletic ability, speed, power, all the things that you're looking for. And so to get the guys we've been able to add today, there's a lot of excitement upstairs. Yeah, I mean, I think we've played a lot of good football around here, John. I think people always remember a game here, a game there that didn't go well. But we've played a lot of good football, a lot of good defense. We've just been in, you know, sometimes you have transition, you know, age at certain positions, things like that, positions that didn't work out. But, yeah, I'm excited to add the three players we've added so far. We've still got more picks. We'll see where they go, some offense, some defense. But, yeah, I think it's exciting where we're at of what we've added. And, again, hopefully when I'm up here tomorrow, I feel like we've added something else either on offense or defense. Yeah, I mean, he's an impeccable kid, and we've did a lot of research. Yeah, I think all teams were aware of the Title IX thing. That was fully investigated by the school. There's everything out. It was, I mean, he even volunteered to do a polygraph and had notes. It was one of those where there was zero information saying that this actually happened to what the accusation was. And just like anything in this world, Catherine, like you can't just take someone's accountants and think that's the truth. But yes, we fully investigated that. If there was anything to that, he wouldn't have been invited to the combine, he was at the draft last night. No, he's every person you talk to at Kentucky, teammates, staff there, plus what we've done, I would say this is a heck of a young man, every person you ask. So, you know, that's unfortunate when you things like that are attached to someone's name. And in this case, it doesn't seem to be anything there. That's a good – how would you say, submission? Is that what do you say? You guys are writers. Yeah, a surmisal. Get back to me tomorrow on that. Yes, we're done. Well, I got that seventh, so. If he's a good player, yes. We're sticking to the board. We feel good with where we're at. We feel like we've hit some positions that we had value meet needs. At this point, we're truly just best players on the board. So if it's a two-down nose, we'll take it. If it's another rusher, I wouldn't turn it down. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, that is Bills general manager Brandon Bean following night two. It sounds like they're done as the Bills take Landon Jackson of their final pick tonight from the University of Arkansas. We have a couple of breaks to get caught up on as this went a little late, so a timeout here. On the other side, we'll wrap things up on day two here, or night two, I should say, of the NFL draft and get you caught up on any picks we may have missed while Brandon Bean was speaking. You're listening to continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL draft here on WGR.
WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.